When we hear the gospel text today, what do we hear? There are many words, many things that are spoken. Of the words that are spoken, which ones do you grab onto? Which ones do you hear? For Jesus asks the rich young men to do something extraordinary, it seems, to go and sell all that he has and to follow him. Then he will have eternal life. The rich man goes away sad, says he had many possessions. It was understood at Jesus' time that if you had wealth, that it was a sign of God's blessing upon you. And so for them to give up wealth in order to receive blessing seemed contrary to them. That's why the disciples in the gospel are so astonished by what Jesus says. And then he says it even more, how difficult it is for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't make sense to their mentality. Riches were seen as God's blessing upon you. Why wouldn't you enter heaven if you possessed many things? And so Jesus' wisdom speaking into this situation, even Peter gets on board. He says, well, we've given up all of these things. And Jesus declares something. He says, if you have given up and let go, then you will receive. But if you cling to what you have, you will die with those things and you won't be able to take them anyway. Basically, Jesus is saying, you must empty yourself, give away for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom, and then you will receive. Over the last few months, in my own personal prayer, it seems that Jesus is inviting me to a deeper and deeper and more intimate relationship with him. And you should be saying, well, that's great, Father. Good for you, right? I hope you're saying that. But the problem is, what I have recognized is that this invitation of intimacy, of drawing close to him, closer and closer and closer, is inviting me to die. That I cannot be that close to Jesus and remain the same. That parts of who I am must be let go in order to stay that close, to be that intimate in a relationship with him. And because of that, there has been fear. So I'm going to share a story with you. It's a little difficult for me to do it because it's very personal. Chalk it up as God's grace for your pastor. That's why I'm sharing it with you. So the other day I was at prayer and I was listening to a song, and the song said something very interesting. It said, and then they laid his body in the tomb of Joseph. Speaking about Jesus after his crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus preparing Jesus' body and placing it in Joseph's tomb, in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. No one had ever been buried there. And that it kind of struck my ears. I said, gosh, yeah, I knew that was true. I had heard that before. But what does it mean that Jesus laid in death in someone else's tomb? My first thought was, well, Jesus was poor. He didn't have possession. He didn't, buy the funeral plot ahead of time on a, installment plan and things like that. But there's something more to this. What does it mean for Jesus to lay in someone else's grave? And so as I was at prayer with this in my imagination, in my mind's eye, I found myself in a graveyard, and I walked up to a newly dug grave, tombstone, Father Anthony Ouellette. I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, I mean, I've seen tombstones placed with people that are still alive. They're just waiting, you know, fill in the last few information there, you know. And I looked down into the grave, and the body of Jesus was laying in it, dead. I want you to put yourself in my place. What emotions go through your heart as you look into your grave and see the dead body of Jesus laying in it? You can see the wounds of his crucifixion, the marks and the wounds and the blows in which he took upon not just my sin, but your sin and the sin of the entire world. And he is laying in the grave. It was a strange mix of feelings for me. And as I sat there in prayer and I spent, I don't even know how long I was caught up in that thought and such, but when I kind of came back to this story that was playing out in my imagination, as I looked, all of a sudden the grave erupted in light. Like a volcano, light just came shooting up from the grave. And I walked back over to the grave to look down. And it was changed. Before, you know, there's dirt, there's stones, there's roots, there's clay, the smell of the fresh earth, the smell of death. In that moment, everything about that grave was changed and transformed. It was radical. It was still dirt. It was still clay. It was still rock. But the light of the resurrection of Jesus was permeating everything. And that which was just simply mere dirt before glowed. It was transparent, and it glowed with an incredible beauty and a sheen. And it looked like finished marble. And the roots that were passing through looked like veins of the marble. But they were now silver and gold. They were just gleaming in light. And there was no longer the smell of earth and death, but it was a fragrance of light and life. The most beautiful smell you could possibly smell, this fragrance coming forth from that tomb, from that grave. And as I looked to the bottom of the grave, I couldn't even see the bottom. It was filled with light. There was no body laying there anymore. It was just nothing but light. My brothers and sisters, I share that story with you because what God was revealing to me in my fear of letting go, my fear of dying to myself, he was showing me that there is nothing to fear. That my grave, my tomb, because Jesus has laid in my grave and he has taken my place and he has paid for my sins, that my death, my destruction is now radically transformed. And that the place of sorrow, the place of fear, going to one's grave, ending one's life, being placed into the earth, is no longer a place of fear, but it is a place of resurrection and light. And there is no reason to fear death anymore, because it has been changed and transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the gospel today, Jesus asks this young man to go and sell everything he has. And his words to this young man, he receives almost as like death. And I'm sure that when he heard that, there was great fear. It's interesting because of the commands that Jesus lists out to him. They are all the latter commandments of the ten. The ones that deal in our relationship with each other. Not the first three that deal in our relationship with God. The little question that Jesus asks him, well, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Are you saying that because you recognize in me the God who you are longing for? When he asks him to go and sell everything, it sounds like death. But Jesus is inviting him into a life with him. Look at what Mark says. He says that Jesus, when he heard the reply, you know, I have observed all of these things from my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you are lacking one thing. Right, don't skip over that part. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He's not inviting him to death, my brothers and sisters. He's inviting him to let go of everything that holds him possessed, everything that imprisons him, everything that holds him bound, so that he can have that one thing that remains, that he can truly give his heart completely over to God. And in that, we hear later on that anything that you have given up, in this life, God will replace it and he will multiply it. I can't tell you how real that is for me as a priest who has chosen celibate chastities for the kingdom of God. Do you know how many mothers I have? Do you understand when I say that? Normally we have one, right? I have a lot of moms. I have got more grandmas and grandpas than anyone here in this room. And you are all my brothers and sisters. What I have given in order to follow Jesus, he has blessed and multiplied in the church, in you. This is fulfilled. This reading is fulfilled in your hearing today. And I share that story with you because I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, when God invites us to transformation, when he invites us to follow him, it is not an invitation that leads to our destruction. It is an invitation that leads us to freedom. And if we take it seriously and we respond to him, all that we hold dear will be given back in a manifold way. But he will give it back in his time and in a way that is pleasing to him. And he will bless us. You see, the reason this is important, my brothers and sisters, the reason that this is important is because it changes now. Looking into our grave and seeing it transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just for the day that we die, so that when we pick out the coffin we say, well, it should be lined with marble like Father said that one day because that's what he saw. It's not for us to pick out our coffins. It's us to live today. To recognize that our destiny is life and light. It is not to rot in the ground. And what does that change? What does it change? How does it change today? Because it absolutely does. It changes the way we see the world. The first reading, the invitation to receive wisdom above all things, wisdom. In Greek, it's Sophia. It's a feminine word, so that's why it uses she. But so often we refer to wisdom and understanding and knowledge. These are fruits, the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts. The second reading from Hebrews, speaking about the Word of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, that penetrates into our life and searches out the mysteries of God. When we are in relationship with God, in the Holy Spirit, in His Son, Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, we possess everything. And our mind is changed. If we stay with the same mind of the world, we will not see it. And everything that Jesus invites us to will feel like He's asking us to die. But in this revelation of truth, when we receive and see with a mind made new in Him, we will see that in His invitation, there is only light and life and truth. This is the transformation. It is not just for our grave, my brothers and sisters. It is a transformation of you and me. What are we made out of, according to Genesis and Scripture? We are made from the dirt of the earth. And yet this humble dirt, in the presence of God, in the transformation, in the transfiguration of Jesus on Mount Tabor, we see our destiny in Him. That the divinity of God would dwell within us and that we would be filled with His light and life. And everything would be transformed and changed. Unlike any way possible here on earth alone. Do not be afraid, my brothers and sisters. The invitation of Jesus is an invitation for life. Amen.